The conference has been muted.
Now, good morning, everybody. This is Kathy Dempsey, and I'm really happy to be back, sort of, in Michigan again, live via webinar to tell you all about merchandising, how it can add retail flavor to your library, and how it can definitely improve your circulation. When I do a webinar like this, I always try to open just with a picture of me doing something or other because I feel like I'm sort of a disembodied voice out there for a lot of people, and it feels kind of strange. So this is me when my book first came out. It was a very happy moment, as you might imagine. So, but I already talked to you before about the Accidental Library Marketer, and so today we're going to talk about merchandising. This presentation is going to be mostly photographs, and it's very colorful and a lot of fun, so I hope to keep you awake for the next 90 minutes-ish. Let's begin by talking about why to try merchandising. There are many reasons for it, and it's still it's a little bit more than just having a few books space out on the shelf. Let me start by talking about what else is good about it. First, it does make your library look more inviting. It makes it look a little more like a bookstore. People walk in instead of seeing just rows and rows and rows of book spines with lots of confusing call letters on them. They can, you know, there's some displays. There's reason to stop and pause and look at things and sort of get comfortable in the building before moving around. It's a great way to highlight your underused materials, you know, all those things that you spent lots of money on and now you're upset because they're not getting much circulation. One of the easiest ways to change that is to simply highlight them, to merchandise them, to put them out on display in an obvious location. Okay, so I have heard people call this before, call merchandising silent readers advisory, which I thought was kind of interesting. And in a way it is. It's you're recommending things for people to read or watch or listen to without actually speaking to them. So it's a little boost for your reader's advisory. It does definitely increase circulation, and I will get into more details about that later and actually share some numbers with you from a site here in New Jersey that measured that. It is fun and creative for staff, and really, how often do you get enough fun things to do? So that's another good reason to do it. And it's something everyone can get into. It's not just for administrators. It's not just for the CERC people or the front desk. It's something that really the whole staff can enjoy and contribute to. It's also a way to promote upcoming events and observances. And it's a great way to relate to customers, too. And what you can do if you really get into merchandising that can help you to differentiate different areas of your building or different branches. If one branch is in an area that is more rural where people are really a lot more into gardening or something like that, that branch can have displays on gardening more often while other branches concentrate on other things that relate more to their own group of patrons and the citizens in that area. So you can use it in a lot of different ways, but let's start talking about what it really is so it makes more sense. It really is more than just having books sitting face out on your shelf. That does look nice. That does draw people's attention, especially if you happen to have, say, some romance novels with maybe covers with good-looking, muscular, shirtless men on that. Clearly, as I was walking through this particular library, the shirtless men caught my eye, and I had to stop and take a picture of that to just to show how merchandising can really work. But to get a little bit more serious about it, let's actually start outside. This is one of the things that people don't really think about too much when they think merchandising. They think, oh, we're just making book displays. But this is one way that merchandising differs from just making pretty displays. Outside says a lot about your library, and it's not something that most people think about. When you not you, library workers often use different entrances, a side entrance or a back entrance, or they park somewhere else. But what's important to think about is all the people going by, especially if you're trying to get non-users to come into the library, if you're trying to invite new and different people to come in, people who just, you know, pass by on their way to work and think, oh, library, you know, I don't read that much, or I just read e-books, or I don't have kids, so there's no reason for me to go there. Your signage outside says an awful lot about your library, whether it's colorful, whether it's drab, whether it's dirty. Signs on this sign that you see here now is, you know, at street level, it's easier to change. It's a little bit easier to clean. Sometimes when you have signage up high or the letters actually on your library, they can get dingy. They're not easy to clean, but it's something that you definitely want to think about and make sure that that's on somebody's punch list of things to do every so often, is to spruce up the outdoor signage. Now, here are some signs outside at a teeny, teeny, tiny library in the teeny, tiny town where I grew up in central Pennsylvania. Their incredibly overcrowded library is really, used to be a house. It's very small. They outgrew it more than a decade ago, but they don't have anywhere else to go. Still, even though the library is tiny, they're doing the best they can with the outdoor signage. They got, apparently from a vendor of health information, they got a nice colorful gold banner to draw a little bit of attention to the building because, you know, the front of it looks like half of the other houses in town because that's what it used to be. And they also got a nice little white sign that you see on the right where they can change the letters. And I don't know if this will mean much to any of you. I don't know if they play bingo much in your area or if they have cake bingos. But where I come from, a cake bingo is a big, big, big deal. Everybody in town goes. Basically, you play bingo to win cakes, pies, cupcakes, all that delicious sort of thing. So that's something that they definitely want to advertise. So even though they don't have much space or many resources, they're using it to the best of their abilities. Here's a sign that I really, really liked. This was at a library up in Vermont. I was there on vacation because, of course, I can't even go on vacation without visiting libraries. I know that many of you are the same with that. This place had a hanging sign with its URL on it. I hope it's big enough for you to see. One of the great things I loved about it is that if you walked up to the library and found it was closed, but you still needed to get to their resources, right there is their URL. People can log in if they have their phone with them. They can jot it down and go back home, whatever they need to do. I also liked that it was hanging not against the front door, so you could only see it when you walked up, but it's hanging sideways there, on par with the sidewalk and the street. So if you're walking by or driving by, you can also see the URL. So I just thought that that was a great invitation to use the library even without going inside. And as you can see, it's a, you know, fairly permanent, it's a permanent sign there that can be changed out, but it's not handwritten. It was lettered very carefully on a nicely painted block of wood. So, you know, that costs probably whatever it costs for the paint and the hardware, but it still makes a big difference in that small community. So I love that one. Now, from the very low tech to the very high tech, this particular sign, I wish I was confident to put the video I took of it in my PowerPoint because this sign changes screens, but every time I try a video in a PowerPoint, bad things happen. So I didn't do that, but what this is, if you can't read the words, please don't panic because this is a sign from a library in the Netherlands. So it's in Dutch, and it's a tall, maybe 3 foot high screen that changes. And on this opening screen here, as you can probably guess, they have their hours, Mondag for Monday and so forth. So you know when they're open, you know some of what's going on, and then the next screen had a list of the activities for the week, what was going on there, and then there was even a third screen that I think had pictures and things from past events and other texts about what was coming up. So it was a really great informational screen, and it changed every, I don't know, maybe 15 or 20 seconds. And this was situated just inside the lobby, right in front of a glass panel next to the glass doors. So, again, if you came up and the library was closed, you could see when it would be open and what's happening. You can still get their schedule. You can still get the URLs. It has all their contact information at the bottom. So if you want to go a little more high-tech, this is a beautiful thing. And it also says a lot about the library. It says we're very techy. We're not just dusty old books anymore. So that's one of my favorite signs. Now, more simple signs. These were very, very important. These were in a library located in Baltimore, Maryland, that was a great big part of a great big building on a corner that had a parking garage. So what you had to do really to use that library was park in the garage and then find your way out of there and up to the proper floor to where the library was. And those of you who use parking garages, you know they can be very confusing, and they always get me turned around. But I loved when you came out on the level that was not the library, look at all the signs hang, you know, the one up above, it says library, third level, top of this ramp. And there's another one lower that points you to the library and to the meeting room. So it's just a very simple way to be friendly, to say, yes, we're here, we want you to find us, we want you to come in, we want you to have her information. And for people who, I know this seems elementary, but for people who go to your building every day, it just doesn't even really occur to you that you may need to update signage or to help people find their way in. So this is really step one of good merchandising, starting outside the library itself. Then your actual entrance. This one has an awful lot going on, tons of bulletin boards, tons of papers and posters and brochures that people can take, at least so this is organized and it looks, you know, a little bit clean. But I know that so many libraries, when you first walk in the door, there's signs on the door and there's bulletin boards and there's these, you know, little, like, come to my yard sale with a little piece of paper at the bottom that you can rip off with a date or a phone number or something. It tends to be disorganized, and it feels disorganized and crowded and a little intimidating. So you want to be really careful about your entryway and what that says to people. One of the things that I do, and in fact, one of the things I was doing when I was at this library in Baltimore, this is the same place with the parking garage. When you finally get upstairs and you're going to enter the library itself, this is what you see. One of the things that I have done is go and evaluate libraries with a big checklist to, you know, starting from the outside, starting from the phone book, starting from your website, you know, where are your listings easy to find? Are they clear? Is it easy to find your phone number and the links that people need the most? And when people walk in, what do they see? How does it make you feel? Is it clean? Is it friendly? Is it bright enough? Does it seem small and cramped and uncomfortable? So some of the pictures that you'll see here today are from that audit, that environmental audit and signage and display audit that I did. So this entryway is, I think, a little bit too busy, even though it's organized. You don't want to overwhelm people before they even get in the door. Now, when they do walk in the door, one of the things that you want is to have clear sight lines. And here's what a sight line is. It's basically, you know, your line of sight. Can you see through everything? Can you see a path forward? Or do you just walk into walls and walls of books and you don't really know where to begin? because it's easy to forget that people who don't work in libraries can find them very intimidating. It's sort of like, you know, the first time you open an internet browser and you're just smacked in the face with tons of information, you don't know where to start. A physical library can be like that too, and you don't want that to happen. So these rules like signage and sight lines, they do come from the retail industry. This is the way that stores are set up, retail stores are set up, and there's a lot of science behind it, really. It's not just looking pretty. You know, that's why I said in the very beginning, it's not just about having books facing out on the shelf. It's about how you make people feel when they come inside, because that really affects how long, in the retail world, it affects how long they stay in the store, how much they browse. Do they go directly to the thing they wanted and leave, or do they stay longer, look at more things, and the idea is they would buy more? So, and there is a lot of, there's a lot of studies behind this, some of which are referenced at the end of your handout, which I think was sent to you ahead of time. Under the further reading and the retail sections, there's an awful lot of stuff. And one of which, I'm looking at it right now, there's a book listed on your handout called Why We Buy, The Science of Shopping by Paco Underhill, who's well known in that little area of information. And that's a really good one that talks about the basics of retail sales. But what I've done here in this presentation is really adapted them for libraries. So here's another example of a library with good sight lines. Now, this is my county library. This is the headquarters library of Burlington County, New Jersey. And they have been doing extensive remodeling. But this was even before the remodeling. When you walked into their main area, you can see several sight lines are open. You can see through. You can see spaces to walk next to lines of desks and how to get around things. And one of the things that I really loved in there was this really interesting shelf. It is made of metal. It's just a big round metal circle with glass shelving. And the thing that's great about that, if you can use it for a display that people will see almost as soon as they enter this space, but because it's circular and open and glass, you can have a display but still see through it. It doesn't block all the sight lines. And what the library did was just take some basic indoor-outdoor rope lights from the hardware store and wrap them around the metal circle to make it stand out a little bit more, and I get to make sure that no one walked into it because it's very clear. But I really, really liked how they handled having a big changeable display right up front without interrupting the sight lines. So, okay, special sections. This is a very obvious usage for merchandising. If you have a special area of either that you want people to be able to find it or you just want to highlight something for extra circulation. The picture you see on the left with all the movie titles, this is at another local library here in New Jersey. This is Mount Laurel Library. And they have had this up for a long time. I think they were one of the first in our area to really start a big collection of movies and to try to start telling people, hey, we're not just books. You know, we have a lot more things, and we have current movies, and we have things that you'd really like. So what they did was they bought one small neon sign that made it seem like the movies and put up some slat wall. The wall that you see behind it that looks like it's put up in long pieces of wood is called slat wall. And as many of you probably know, because hopefully some of you have this, the grooves in between the wood are made to put plastic holders on it so that you can change that display into any shape or size that you want. And the one on the right is a Spanish language area of one library that was starting to build a Spanish language collection as the Hispanic speaking population increased. So what they did, rather than hide it, you know, in a corner somewhere, they put it in an obvious area near the entrance, and they printed with a large format printer, they made that big biblioteca sign in Spanish there with lots of colors. So it's pretty hard to miss when you walk in. So that is something that definitely will increase circulation of the Spanish speakers in the area, because then they feel like they're welcome, they have their own section, it's easy to find, and it looks fun and inviting and colorful. So, okay, just a few more examples like this. One of the things, and these seem so simple, I know, but let me tell you why they're merchandising and why I like them. The picture on the left of, obviously, DVDs, what the sign said, has a big collection of DVDs. They're not face out because the shelf is a little packed. But what they've done here that I really like is the sign, the paper sign that they've pasted on top that says DVDs, no fee, 21 days. And that definitely increased their circulation when they did that, because people weren't sure how long the borrowing time was, first of all, because you don't really know until you go up to check it out, but also the fact that there's no fees. People are still just now learning that libraries also have, you know, movies and CDs and DVDs and Blu-ray and all that sort of thing, but they assume that you're like Blockbuster or Netflix and that you have to go to the library and rent them. And I love to tell people that they can get these things for free from the library, because their mouth just drops open and they say, what do you mean it's free? Why is it free? And I said, well, it's because the library, it's not a for-profit company. You can, you know, you're telling me all these things you want to buy and you want to rent. You can go to the library and get most of them for nothing. And it's such a revelation to people, something so simple like that. So I was really glad that this library was highlighting the fact that you had plenty of time with no fees, and that they did measure this and noticed an increase in circulation. Now, the picture on the right is, they're audiobooks. I think they're from Overdrive. I can't remember. The reason that this silly little display was good, even though it's sitting on a book truck, it was right next to the information desk that you see when I walked into this library. The first thing you see is the information desk in front of you. And because these audiobooks were brand new, people didn't know much about them. They didn't understand how to get them, how to play them, what to do. Before they put their new collection into the stacks, they initially kept it on this book truck right up front, so that people who walked in and stopped to glance at it, immediately the person at the information desk could explain to them what it was and help them with it and, you know, check it out to them and give them a quick lesson. So that made their remember in the very beginning I said highlight materials that you spent a lot of money on, so you want to make sure someone uses them. This is a great way to do that. You know, they didn't just pay a lot of money and then shelve them in the back somewhere in some hard-to-find area. They put them right up front where not only people could see them, but they could get help with them immediately. So hopefully this all makes sense so far. I do have a couple spots coming up where I'll pause for questions, but if you do have questions about this, you can go ahead and put them in the chat box at any point in time, because I am keeping an eye on that. I may not answer each question immediately if I know it's something I'm about to discuss with a future slide, but I'll definitely keep an eye out, because if there's something I don't make sense or you want to know more about, just holler. It's all available through the wonders of technology. Okay, one of the things I really want to point you to, a great, great reference, was a project that was done very near me here in New Jersey. It was called Trading Spaces. It was done by the South Jersey Regional Library Co-op, which sadly no longer exists because it was unfunded, but Trading Spaces lives on in this website. And they sort of got the name, it was sort of like the TV show. Nobody traded libraries or traded houses, but they did do a big interior redecoration, for lack of a better word. But it wasn't just redecorating, and it wasn't just putting up more display shelves. They checked a lot of the science. They went. They hired a very well known retail merchandising consultant who came out to the library and made a lot of recommendations. You know, looked at the blueprints, sketched out where everything was in the library, and they recommended how to make it more inviting, more livable, and to make better use of their space, to increase their circulation, and just to increase the people who would come in the door and increase the flow of people as they move through the building. So this URL is also on your handouts, on the last page and the further reading and stuff. And if you really want to get into merchandising, that is the best single site I can send you to. It has lots of their presentations. It has their PowerPoints, it has before and after pictures, it has measurements of circulation before and after, really, really great stuff. One of the things, well, gosh, there's so much in there. I'll let you go to that, but before I forget, I have referred to your handouts a couple of times. I want to let you know, in case you haven't noticed, the talk that I'm giving now doesn't really follow the handouts, because with the time that I have, I'm more interested in giving you the big picture. Ha! Actually, I didn't mean that pun, big picture, but I slay me sometimes. Anyway, the handouts are more in-depth information. These are all the little details that I wanted you to have but didn't want to spend time going over the handout point by point. However, in my discussing each of the pictures, the pictures bring up most of the points that are on your handout. And you can see right at the very beginning that one of the quotes I have, one of the general recommendations, is from the Trading Spaces Project, where the woman who was assistant director there at the time says, willingness is more important than money. And this is a big, big message for people now, you know, when we have no money. She says, willingness to do a project like this is more important than money. If people have the willingness to make changes, they'll find a way to do it. If they don't have the willingness, no amount of money can help. So if you're really going to get into merchandising, it's not something that should just, you know, the administrator, the director should say, okay, we're merchandising. You do this, you do that, you do that. That's, you know, here's more work to add to your jobs. It really has to be something that you get buy-in from the staff. And when you explain to them what it is and how much fun it can be, usually the buy-in isn't very difficult to get, because people want to be involved in making displays and in sharing their own expertise on certain fields or certain topics. So we'll get into that a little bit more later. So Trading Spaces, what after Trading Spaces happened, it was quite a long project here. I think it took at least a year. Once it was so successful, the librarians at Mount Laurel started to share it with other New Jersey libraries first, and then they ended up taking it on the road and presented it at ALA, and they really did quite a bit of traveling for the next couple years afterwards, going to other library systems to help out. This is what I wanted to share from one of the earlier adopters in Collingswood, New Jersey. I don't have to really tell you much about how much the after is better than the before in these pictures, but I will point out some of the basics that they did. As I said before, seeing bulletin boards and information areas can just be so overcrowded that they become useless. There's so information that you can't use any of it. As you can see, they've really cleaned up this area. But not only did they clean it up and paint, they, as you can see, part of why it doesn't look so crowded anymore is they replaced the giant old 1980s photocopier with something from this century. So there's that, which really helped. But just the side, like, if you look at the before picture on the left, do you have any idea where the restrooms are? I mean, I don't see that sign anywhere. It might be in there, but now you can clearly see where that is. And it just, not just the information, but the feeling. Like, how do you feel when you look at the before picture? And what does your brain say to you, like, oh, my gosh, look at all this stuff. I can't find anything. As opposed to the after picture. I look at the after picture and just sort of think, ah, okay. Other than the sudden lack of fire extinguisher, I'm much more calm about the picture on the right. So these are some of the things other than the books facing forward that are part of merchandising that can really change the feel of your library. Now, staying in Collingswood, on the next slide, and all this information is on the Trading Spaces website. This is just a quick look at the impact that their merchandising had. As you can see here, they compared the same 4 months from one fiscal year to another, and look at the increase in circulation. The book circulation increased 31% over the same months in the prior fiscal year. The DVD circulation, obviously they focused on merchandising their DVDs, increased 117%. I mean, that is astonishing. Just because they made them easier to find, they featured them, they showed them off. Maybe they made a sign that said, you know, 21-day borrowing with no fees. So this can really, really change circ of any type of your collection, as long as there are actually people in your service area who do need those items. This is just one example of a dramatic increase in circ. Okay, one of the spaces that most libraries that I've seen that do merchandising, one of the first spaces they do it in is their teen space, because teens like to have their own spaces. They need to be cool. They need to be fun. They need to look like a place where maybe adults wouldn't really want to go. So a sign like this, a little neon sign, can do wonders. I mean, if that's all you can do is just buy one sign to change it, look at how much that changes the feel of it, because it's colorful, it's neon, it's lit up, it's tacky, and it's fun. So many of these pictures of these teen spaces coming up are, again, from the library system in Baltimore, where I did the merchandising and display audit. Now, look at how cool they did this area. Now, clearly, they had a little money for this. They got the furniture, which is very colorful and interesting. They have tons of, I don't know if the shelving on the left is new or maybe if they just painted it to make it seem a little more interesting. And then they just hung some fun stuff from the ceiling, you know, which they probably got at a party store or a dollar store. They do also have the nice large format banner that they printed, and those can be had for not a whole lot of money either. So that's that looks like a fun space. Now, this same if you were standing in the same space and look to your left, what you would see is this picture. You see still the chairs, but behind it, they have just one nice freestanding shelf that's not crowded. Everything is face out. Everything that the teens would want is sitting there to entice them to look. And they've also placed a flat screen monitor there that more and more libraries are using. And that can be another really important part of your merchandising. If you have a flat screen monitor that you can put a picture show on or list of events, you know, any kind of scrolling, changing information. And I like the placement of it here in the teen area just because it makes it a little more techy. You know, everything else that you see around there is books and magazines on display. But that just adds a little something to it. And, you know, the shark and the beach ball are kind of fun too. Okay, here's a teen space in a different Baltimore area library where, again, they're using the slat wall that I talked about before, where you can just buy these clear acrylic holders of different sizes and shapes and slide them into those slats anywhere you want to make an interesting display that holds a lot of information but isn't crowded. And, you know, that just looks like a nice little place where you can sit back against the wall and do some people watching and do some reading or whatever you need to do. Now, flat wall, again, these are on the ends of the ranges, obviously. And usually, in retail parlance, they call this, the word just left my mind, end caps. They call them end caps, anything that you put at the end of a bunch of shelves. And as you'll know, in most stores, that's where they feature all the sale things, because what they want you to do, if you know exactly what you're looking for in a store and where it is, and you're trying to walk directly to your destination and not spend any extra money on sale things, or in my case, you know, I'm easily distracted by shiny things and candy on the ends of aisles. They want you to be distracted by that and to stop and get more and to buy more things than you had anticipated. Your version of that in the library is you want people to check out more things than they had planned to increase your circulation and so people can understand all the great resources you have. And then, you know, hopefully in a perfect world, they'll go back home and say to a friend, you know, my gosh, I went to the library today for a child's book, and I came across this great thing. I didn't know that I could check out magazines from the library. You know, because back in my day, when I still worked in library buildings, you couldn't really check out magazines in many places. They were only there to use while you were in-house. So especially if it's something you've recently changed, if your library system changes something that you used to be able to only use in-house but now you can check it out, why not make that obvious to people? Why not make displays like this with a sign that says, enjoy a magazine at home, check some out today? Very simple, very useful, can definitely increase your circulation. Now, screens. For those of you who have lots of money to burn, you might want to set up a whole bunch of really cool high-end digital screens. This photo is from the Library of Congress. So, yeah, they have a little bit more money than most of you. But the digital screens are great new technology. They're very easy to program. You can just make a PowerPoint presentation in them and load them into these screens, and it will run on a loop. This one at Library of Congress was very cool because what they seem to be doing is each different screen was highlighting a different part of the collection there. You'll see that some are just words, and in fact, in the very middle of the group of screens, there's a really long, narrow one that is like a ticker that they can program in phrases and words to change. But what they had, I believe, was people from who worked in different parts of the collection each made PowerPoints and things to highlight their area, and then each one had a different screen. And I could have just stood there for 20 minutes watching all the screens. It was it made me want to explore different areas of LC that I didn't even know were there. Now, the good news is, for those of you who are not rich enough to buy thousands and thousands of dollars worth of screens to put them in your lobby, I've seen libraries do great things just with the little digital picture frames that you can buy now for, you know, $50. You can get a really nice one for $100. Put it near the circulation desk. Put it where people are waiting. You know, when they're waiting in line to check their books out is a perfect place for these screens, or even for a little frame that has a run through a slideshow that says, here's what's coming up. You know, don't forget that this tomorrow we're having this big event. Clothes for President's Day, any messages that you want to get out, pictures of people having fun at your programs, any of that stuff, for $50 or $100, you can easily make a picture show that will run in your library, and that's a great way of merchandising in a very small space. So, I feel like I've been talking forever already. I would like to take a break and for a minute and see if anyone has questions, anything that you want to ask or even comment on, something that you liked or that you didn't like. Go ahead and go to your chat box there in the bottom left and type in some messages. Talk to your buddies. Okay, I see a whole lot of nothing in the chat box at the moment. So let me ask a question then, just for fun. How many of you, and you can just type in yes.
The conference has been unmuted.
So it looks like we're up with the time.
Okay, now we can talk a little bit too. Meanwhile, if you actually do some of this merchandising in your library already, go ahead and type yes in the chat box so I can just get an idea of what you're doing.
Yard sale. The people
don't sit them at home. Mm-hmm. And meanwhile, while these are coming in, Bambi wants to know suggestions for vendors with the clear glass shelving. Okay. No, I don't know where they bought that.
Really?
I wish I knew, but I'm sure that there's so many library furniture vendors.
Yes,
if you looked at the major, Demco is one. They have more. Demco is not just the plain wooden furniture. They have a lot of different fun, silly things, too. So I would start checking there. But I don't think that you would have and it wouldn't even have to be a library vendor, necessarily, for glass shelving. You could go just about anywhere for that and get something.
I have a question.
Yes, uh-huh.
We're a very small library, and when you were talking about sight lines, when you come in our front door, we have a huge table, and then all the shelves are facing right towards you. There's no real sight line except the side alleys along each side of the shelves. And the shelves, I don't think they really can't be changed. So what would you suggest to improve? I mean, it seems like as soon as you come in the door, you're just like, everything hits you right away because there's no room. It's small.
Just a big wall there.
Yeah, it's a big wall of books, and then another wall. No. So it's a big wall of books right in front of you.
Yeah. Assuming that you can't change where the front door is.
No.
And you can't move the shelves, maybe just something more of a, I wish I could see when you walk in, rather than, I don't know, some kind of display, right, in the front. I would, a display shelf, a clear glass or something, in the front, a little bit to the right. Because
the
that
circulation
way,
desk is right to the right.
Is there, could you display something on that? Could you add a little bit of glass shelving sitting in a corner of the circ desk or something like that?
It's pretty small.
Yeah, that's
probably only like 2.5 to 3 feet of space.
That is difficult.
Yeah.
I'm thinking back to even thinking of some of the home shows that are on TV. Sometimes what they do to make a room look bigger is they sort of repaint around the ceiling. Like if you don't have big molding around the ceiling, there's a technique where they put just a very lighter or a very little bit darker shade right around where your crown molding would be at the top of the ceiling. That makes that space look big. It makes the ceiling look bigger, basically. It makes the room feel bigger. There are also some basic things like that you can do with paint, even in the front area to repaint the lobby area. I know all dark colors always make things look smaller. Light colors make things look bigger. Or I wonder if there's even a place where you could hang like a mural or something.
Right.
Have you ever seen the murals or the big artistic banners you can buy that look like windows, that you're looking out a window onto a scene or at a tree or something like that? But there are tricks like that that you can use to make the space seem a little bigger. As far as displays, what you definitely wouldn't want is to crowd that area more with one of the metal or plexiglass holders
below,
where there are 30 different brochures sticking in there.
Yeah, well, we don't have that.
Okay.
So.
OK.
It's just that it seems like you have a wall of books right in front of you when you come in.
Yeah, and is there and are any of those books facing forward?
We do have some, and we use the top as a shelving area.
That's good.
It's the juvenile section that's there.
Okay.
Currently we have Dr. Seuss hats and then books.
That's a great start. If you want to later, email me a picture. You have my email on the presentation and the handout and everywhere. Email me a couple pictures to Kathy at librariesareessential.com, and I'll try to come up with some other specific ideas and email you back.
Well, thank you very much.
Oh, sure. Yeah. There was another question here that Janice asked. Said, I like the picture frame idea, but I wonder about the security for it. And that's why you have to be a little bit careful about where you put them. It's nice to have one right on the circ desk. But just in the same way, you could use, there are little pieces of hardware that libraries use on laptops to secure them to a desk.
Be selling stuff
to secure small electronics, and I think that you could secure them with the little laptop locks. Also, check with your tech people. You can also mount them on the wall, and just that's not the kind of thing, of course, you'd want in the back of the library where people can hide back there and just keep to themselves. But if it's in a pretty public area, and if it's mounted or secured in any way. Or another thing you can do, especially if you're mounting it on the wall, is put it up high, so it's not right at eye level. But something, people would really have to make a real effort to get on a chair or something to reach it and put it down.
Put your paper.
But yeah, it's definitely worth trying. So, okay. Any other questions here at the moment? And I see just a few yeses came in, so it seems like most of you have not gotten into merchandising yet, which is great, which means you're at the right webinar. I hope that you are getting some ideas. This merchandising is something that you can do really, really in-depth with every little corner of the library inside and out, or you can at least start very quickly, very cheaply by doing just a few of these things. And build on that. So it's another reason why I love merchandising, because any library can do it to the extent that they're able, for either reasons of money or for space, as we were just talking about. There's always a way to make things look a little bit friendlier. And the reason that the people in Baltimore had me come down to do audits for them was because here's the trick. The people who work in any particular library cannot look at it objectively and say, well, I think we should do this, and I think we should put this here, because you know where everything is. You're used to how it looks. And then there's always the politics of, well, I think we should do it this way. No, I think we should do it that way. So having anyone else look at it is a great way to get, I think, better suggestions for things that you can change. And it doesn't have to be, super high-priced consultants. Not that I am super high-priced, but it can even be another librarian from another building, from another, the next county over, who doesn't work directly with you. Get them to walk in and make suggestions. Or just do some surveys with actual patrons, people that you know well enough to say, hey, I have a checklist of, 10 questions here about the physical library space. Would you mind, just walking around for 2 minutes and filling this out to give us your impression of the space? Another way to do it. To get some new ideas.
Yeah, it's fine to me.
Okay, well, let's get back into this for just a little while longer. Signage. Now we're talking indoor signage. Big, really important stuff. Because your signage.
Can you mute? We're having a conversation going on in the background.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I guess if Sean is still there.
The conference has been muted.
Excited. I forgot to request that. Signage. Now, compare these two fabulous, beautiful signs to the handmade ones that happen all too often when you just grab a piece of paper out of the printer and your Sharpie and you write something down. I know that not everyone has a graphic artist on staff to make beautiful things like this, but a lot of this you can do almost with a Word document. You can do it with any kind of thing and some clip art or a nice photograph. The most important thing, I think, is just to avoid the handwritten signs. At the very least, type it up on your computer, use a nice font, no Comic Sans, and put a picture on it and print it out. Now, these were made clearly by Baltimore County Public Library, who has an artist. But, again, these things are really just stock photos, and there's lots of places to get free stock photos. For instance, if you're having a knitting event, whoever the knitter is who's coming in to teach this, you know, in this case, someone from the local yarn shop, surely they can take a nice picture of some yarn and knitting needles, and you can use that. You can put it on your sign. It looks so much more professional and so much more inviting to have a sign like this. Now, I learned something new a few months ago, a very important thing that I want to share with you. I was giving a merchandising talk. I used these photographs of signs, and somebody from an academic library in New York who had been really doing some in-depth studies of signage piped up and said there are new ADA guidelines, the Americans with Disabilities Act guidelines, even for signage, and ADA now discourages laminating any signs because it causes a glare and it makes it a lot harder for people to see. You can see, if you look at the knitting sign on the right, a glare right in the top middle of that knitting sign. And I had to take it, you know, stand in three different areas and try to take pictures so the flash wouldn't, you know, ruin the sign. And so I can definitely see how it would make it more difficult for some people to read with certain vision problems. So if you buy acrylic sign holders or something, a lot of them are low glare. But you want to think about, if you're getting something printed, get it in a matte finish, not a glossy finish, and only, you know, laminate signs if they're going to be in a really high traffic area or near a door or something where they might get wet or windblown. So I learned something new about making signs more accessible. Basic special collection signs help. You know, I live in New Jersey. I was walking around one of our local libraries that I was visiting for the first time, and hey, I wouldn't have known that they had a bunch of special books on New Jersey if I hadn't seen this sign hanging from the ceiling. So I went and checked some of those out. So that good signage can increase circulation as well. The picture on the right, let me explain, because it was really difficult to show what it was. What you're looking at is the very bottom of a large, grand wooden staircase. The white is the floor at the bottom of the staircase. This was from a library in the Netherlands. This is from Dock Library in Delft, and it's the same place that had the electronic sign in the door that I talked about at the beginning, the video sign. So Dock has this beautiful grand staircase, but it's one of those, because the floor underneath it is white, you almost can't see. When you get to the bottom step, you don't know if you're stepping down onto the white floor or if the wood is even with the white floor at the bottom. It's kind of a strange illusion. And they were actually having a lot of users stumble there at the bottom of the stairs because they were misreading where the floor came in. So how do you do that without putting ugly signs all over your stairs that say, you know, watch your step, be careful, step down? So they hired a consultant who happens to be a friend of mine to come up with some kind of signage to help on the stairs. And what he decided to do was, he had all these words made. This is a very, very international library. So he had the word information printed in all different languages and made it like a clear almost like a clear, clear acrylic patch. And they had that laid onto the floor and then waxed over it so that that became a permanent part of the floor. So now it's kind of funny that the simple word information that was really used initially to help people from falling has now become a well-known piece of art within this library. So many people who go to Doc photograph the multilingual words at the bottom of the staircase. It's just, you know, it's become part of the art of the building. So I just put that there as a really interesting example of how basic informational signage can become something more just with a little creative thinking. And it wasn't expensive either. This is really just like having words printed on a large form poster. So that was a pretty cheap way to avoid getting sued and really brighten things up. Okay, here's some of my favorite displays. Speaking of signs, now putting signs together with books. Most libraries do some form of displays around certain events, around a certain time of year, a holiday, something like that. And that's a great thing to do. You want to make sure that people know just what you're putting together. So the one on the left was for the FIFA, the World Cup Soccer Tournament, which only comes up once every 4 years. And a lot of people are getting more into international soccer these days. So it was cool to have a display on that with, of course, the David Beckham book there, but also they use the really cool FIFA logo to make a sign that they put on top of the display. And, of course, on the right, too, you can see they're telling parents and teachers that they have put together book bundles in this particular library for kids, a handful of books that are all related. They put them together, tie it up with yarn or string or jute, and put some bookmarks with it and like a pen or pencil, and you can check out the whole bundle at once. So that's, again, increasing circulation and just looking kind of nice, and they put a sign on top to explain what the heck was going on. Book sales are another big thing that libraries do, and they, because they are a retail part of the library, they should be merchandised. Now, you see in front of you two pictures of two different book sales. I will let you all guess which is the good book sale and which is the bad one. So sad. The one on the right was actually at a very small, very, very rural library that I stopped at. They had boxes of books sitting on the front porch of the library with the sign there of prices. Now, I don't care how small you are, how rural you are, please don't do that. It screams, you know, the used cardboard boxes. They're sitting next to the trash and the recycling. They're on the floor of the sort of dirty old porch. For someone to walk by that library or to drive by it and see that from the outside, what impression does that give someone? To me, it says, hey, we have a bunch of worthless junk that's, you know, costs only a quarter. Come on in. And that's really not the message you want to be sending to people, especially outside the library, because remember, so many people who don't come in and use your library, if they never come in to see how great everything else is, this is what they think you are. So even with something as simple as a book sale, you know, it doesn't have to be as grand as the sale on the left, where the friends had their whole own corner and desk and big shelves and everything, and very nicely merchandised along the tops of the shelves. It doesn't have to be that big, but please don't make it a dirty cardboard box sitting outside in the weather. Okay, movie picks. A lot of libraries, too, have staff, you know, our favorite movies, our favorite books, something like that. And there are different ways to do this. The picture on the left is actually from my local library in my tiny town of Medford. They have movie picks to change every few weeks, and I had to take a picture of this one because you may notice here they're featuring the librarian with Noah Wiley. So that's always fun. This picture on the right was from a library in Stockholm, Sweden, which, again, I was lucky enough to go to on vacation last year. And I was visiting some library friends, and, of course, I had to go and look at a bunch of libraries, making it kind of less of a vacation. But this I love, love, love. This is in a very specialized library that's all music for all ages in Stockholm. And to make the staff pics more personal, notice what they've done. They've taken pictures of the staff members, and they've made them like little cutout talking heads. With, and each one just has a tag with, you know, not their home address, no stalking, but their, you know, first name and what part of the collection they specialize in. And, you know, these are three of my favorites because, and they have some of their favorite music out there and information on that music. So what I really loved about this was the personal attention. You feel like someone that you know, someone who looks friendly, is saying, hey, you know what, if you're like me and you like this sort of thing, then you want to try these other artists as well because they're really awesome. Now, I know that many people are shy about having their pictures taken, shy about having their photos posted anywhere. They don't even want to wear name tags with their first name. Obviously, that is not the case in this particular library, and that really all has a kind of different feel in Europe, too. All the libraries that I've been in there, people are not, it's not that they're not privacy conscious, but they feel that they're working in a public building. They're working in a public-facing institution, and they're on the floor already. Everyone knows them. Everyone can see them. They don't mind wearing name tags. They don't mind, you know, speaking up and being publicized a little bit. So I will wager that something with a more personal touch, like the one on the right, would probably help more people to borrow. Because let's say that that you like this guy here with the hat in the middle, and if you try something that he recommended and you really liked it, next time you come back to see the staff picks, you're going to look for this floating head again, and you're probably going to try something else that he recommends. So really nice personal touch. Plus, it just made me laugh to look at the shelf with all the faces on it. Okay, so we're going to stay in Europe for a little while now. The Amsterdam Public Library has some amazing, amazing spaces. It's a fairly new library. I'd say it's been there maybe 5 or 6 years. It's called the OBA, O-B-A, because in Dutch, the spelling, what they call it is the Openbare Bibliotheek Amsterdam. So it's the O-B-A. And just beautiful. And it was designed with people in mind and with being a very serious, very large open public space because Amsterdam's an awfully big city. And, of course, they have lots of branches, but this main library right here by the train station draws not only citizens but lots and lots of visitors too. This area is the children's section. This is downstairs. And I love these semicircular, wide-open shelves that they have. And you see each one really, they don't have backs. Each one is open because where the shelves aren't full, you can sort of see through that you're looking into the other part. So that makes it very interesting for merchandising, makes it fun for the kids, you know, to run around in circles and to play with the giant giraffe and all that sort of thing. Very, so merchandised, it's so open that it really invites people to stay and to look around and to take out as many books as they can carry. Another thing from the OBA, and again, you'll see the glare from the photograph because this is laminated, space. I know that I already talked to one of you who does not have a lot of space for signage, and even in this giant building, I love what they did here. This is a pillar, a column in the very center of the building where the escalators are. And there are I think, 7 or 8 floors in this library. So as you go up the escalators, what they've done at the top of each one is this tells you everything that is on the 6th floor of this library. Again, don't worry that you can't read it, and neither can I since it's Dutch, but as you're riding up the escalator to floor 6, this gives you something to stare at, and you can either ascertain, like, oh, yeah, this is what I was looking for. I'm on the right floor. Or you could get waylaid and say, oh, I wasn't looking for that, but wow, they have that? I'm going to stop at this floor and check it out, too. So great way to give people information at the point of need, great use of otherwise ugly pillars that sort of get in the way, makes them something useful and interesting. Okay, got a few more cool spaces to share with you, and then we'll do our final questions, and we'll wrap everything up. Back to Baltimore now. This is one of the libraries that I audited there, and this is, you've already seen this one actually from here, from coming in the door. This was one of the early slides about the sight lines, where you can look right down here. You can see where the main desk is. You can also see this is the circulation desk back here. So when you're coming in this door at the back left of the photograph, there are several sight lines that you have. You can see just where to go. Even though this is a busy library and it has a lot going on, it's not quite too busy because they have kept it airy enough. This is in the same library. A really cool thing they've done, these are their old summer reading T-shirts from years past. And every year they design a new T-shirt, and then they add it to this. Basically, they've hung a clothesline up. And in this picture, where these shirts are hanging are right here to the right. And, you know, they're up, they're out of the way, but what a great year-round promotion for your summer reading program. Like, look how cool, it's colorful, every year we have a great logo. It's just like a constant reminder of how much fun that can be. So I really liked that. This is a very different type of library. This is the Gould Institute in New York City. I learned when I worked with them that the Gould Institute is a German organization to promote German language and history and culture around the world. And they have libraries in many countries around the world, like 20 or 30 countries. This one in New York happened to be the headquarters library for North America. And this was in New York City, so, you know, spaces are very different there. It was had to go up several floors in what seemed like a very thin, tiny office building. And so this was basically a warehouse. They had moved into this space that had been an open warehouse. And so they have sight lines, but it doesn't look especially warm. It looks kind of industrial and blank, which I think actually was part of the German design idea anyway. But what they did some interesting things to make this open warehouse space familiar. I'll show you all these walls here behind their stacks. You can see a little bit of how it sort of looks like just lines on the wallpaper. But what they did was they took their entire card catalog, again, had it printed onto, you know, like a vinyl. Basically, they made wallpaper from their card catalog and just used it as a background. Which, again, it's something so interesting to look at. It helps the white walls without – they wanted to keep the walls very light-colored because it's sort of a – it's not a small space, but it feels a little cramped. It feels enclosed in the building. So it's a great conversation piece, too, and just something really interesting. And talk about showing off every book in your collection. It's crazy. I loved it. This was a library, again, in Stockholm. This cute little library, it's sort of hidden, is in a subway station. So when you get off the subway, when you get off the metro, you're going down the hallway here, and they have hidden, you go up this sweet little circular staircase into a very tiny library that's really just for the commuters there to grab books, you know, on their way to and from work to read on the trains. So I liked how they made the signage plenty big to show you that this little secret staircase goes to the library. But also, here's another cool, cool thing that they did here on the right. Carry-out bags. The librarians there would take two or three titles that are related somehow, like this one on the right, I'm not sure if you can read it, says Afternoon Tea. I love Afternoon Tea, so that intrigued me. And I looked in the bag, and I thought it would be recipes for tea and things like that. But in fact, it wasn't, and there were no scones in the bag. I was very sad. It was books that you might read about afternoon tea or books that you might read over tea, like some, you know, lovely British authors and Virginia Woolf and things like that. So they take two or three books on a related topic, staple to the paper bag something that says what the topic is, and then when you're in a rush to your train, people can come in. They had like maybe 12 or 15 of these hanging on pegs at all times. Rush in, grab a bag, check it out, and you're on your way. Increased circulation because there were several books in the bag, in each bag, and they made it quick. They already had them bagged, so you're not fumbling, trying to put things in your backpack or your laptop case or something. Grab and go. Awesome, awesome thing. And the librarian who was working when I was there said that they are very, very popular with the commuters. So, love that idea. This is a very small but very important point that I want to make. When you have all your fabulous and wonderful looking displays of books and movies and everything, some people will look at it and think, oh, that's so pretty. I better not take anything. That's a decoration. You know, like when you're shopping in a store at Christmas time and you see beautiful ornaments on a Christmas tree in the store and you don't think that you can buy them. You have to go elsewhere in the store and find the box of that reindeer ornament because you think that what's on the tree is just a decoration. It's really important that you tell people you can take these. Otherwise, you're going to make these great books that you want people to check out, and they're going to sit there. And FYI, I did not stage this picture at all. I just happened to notice that the book holder next to the sign was empty, and I just thought it was made a great point that if you tell people, yes, you can definitely take these, look, they'll take them. Okay, quickly, just a few of my favorite displays. Love this one on the left. Authors born in June. Talk about, you know, when you can't think of a holiday or you can't think of anything, or you say, well, I did all red books last month and I'm doing yellow books this month. Authors born in whatever month it is, they have a beach towel, very basic but colorful beach towel sitting over everything to draw attention to the display. Cute little plastic sand bucket, cost a dollar at the dollar store. These things can really draw people's eyes to displays. This one on the right, one of my very, very favorites. It was, I'm not sure if you can read many of the titles, but it was basically vampire stuff from a couple years ago when Twilight was super big and all the kids wanted vampires. So this place, not only did they use this really cool circular table for a bunch of vampire books. I think the sign on the top, I think it said, I can't read it too big right now from where I am, but, you know, if you like Twilight, try these. And what they did here in the middle with just a clear plastic block, basically a riser for your books, they put inside of it red and black netting, like tulle fabric. Again, like a buck at a craft store, red and black to look all bloody and vampire-y. And it really, really drew my eye to that display as I walked by. And the picture doesn't do it justice, but simple little cheap things you can do to really help get people's attention. Another favorite. This is from Indianapolis. they have a, well, long story short, they had a wonderful old library. They desperately needed to expand. They built a new section on the library, a whole new building, but in, they are attached in the middle. If you're outside, you can actually see where the old building attaches to the new. And one of the ways they highlighted that was in this this giant person-sized, family-sized display case in the front where they have, as you can see, the old card catalog and now the new catalog on a flat-screen monitor. And their tagline at Indianapolis Public Library, this is their central library, you know, their main branch, central to you. And I just loved how they used, you know, the old and the new with old and new photographs commemorating the new part of their building. Really, really great display. And finally, talking about things at the circulation desk. This is the last one. I just love, you know, if you have tons of money to go buy a new circ desk, what a cool one this is. Not only, you know, does it have space, but a place for people to put down their purse, their backpack, whatever they're carrying so they can check out their books. And while they're waiting in line, built-in display shelves right all around, and I believe there was another one at the far end of the circ desk. And you don't have to, of course, buy this fancy schmancy desk to get that, but what about just taking a small riser or an old bookshelf or a book cart? Put a book truck out there. You know, pimp your book cart, decorate it a little bit for whatever season or whatever topic that you're displaying on, and roll it out and put it right in front of the circ desk, so that people who are waiting in line might pick up an extra book or two. So I think those are pretty much all the big points. Again, I do refer you to the handout that if you haven't gotten one emailed ahead of time, please let your organizers know or tell them in the chat, and they'll make sure to email you one, or I could email you a copy. Check the handout for the details, the exact how-to, you know, if you want to start this, how do you begin? Like, what's the first thing to do, what to change, how to get some, how to get everyone involved in it. Oh, the last thing, here's the last thing I want to tell you. As we start thinking of your questions, the last thing, very important, I keep saying that people are putting all these books on display and their circulation is going up and they can prove it with their circ stats. Here's one of the best ways to do that from one of the libraries who does it best in Baltimore. When they put a book on display, they check it out to a fake patron, which basically is, you know, book on display. And they have several fake patron cards for different, for the main display areas. You know, they have one for the front of the library, or they have, you know, displays just in the teen section, whatever. So they sort of check those books out to the fake patron, but they're still there. And they have a note on the MARC record that that was a display book, so that when any book from a display gets checked out, it's counted as such in their circ stats. When they look at their own statistics, they can see exactly how many books came from the displays. So that's how they proved in some cases. And then they can experiment with it too. You know, they can make as many fake patrons as they want for certain amounts of time. And that way they can see not only their overall increase in checkouts, but exactly which types of books and which displays and which sections of the physical library were working best. You know, were the displays at the front really getting pulled off the shelves more than other things that were merchandised toward the back of the library or on the second floor or something like that? The only other thing that's really important about this, when you make these beautiful displays, you replenish them. You can't just say, okay, this week we're making a display on, you know, David Beckham, and then not have it be anyone's assignment to touch it again for the week. Because if you're making things that look nice, like at a retail store, as soon as things start to look a little empty or picked over, they replenish that. They refill the display. And so you want to assign someone every day to just take a quick walk around, see what's empty, and go pull new books to put on it. So those are really all of my big points, and I'm happy to entertain any questions now here that maybe Sean will unmute us again, or you're welcome to go ahead and type in questions in the chat box, or if it's something in-depth, you're welcome to email me anytime afterward.
The conference has been unmuted.
Checked out to somebody from the front.
Okay, we are unmuted. Who wants to speak up and comment or question? And Bambi, you're welcome. Thank you. Wow. I must have been incredibly complete if there are no questions. Where everyone's no curious people? Susan, you're very welcome.
Will this presentation be archived? I have an assistant director that I'd love to have her watch it.
Yes, we are recording it, Elaine.
Oh, great. Thank you so much. It was very informative. Really appreciate it. I don't have any questions now, but need some time to digest it.
Yeah, that's it. I talk to people who had no questions at the moment of a presentation, and 2 weeks later they email me and say, okay, now that I've sat down and tried to plan this, I have 18 questions for you. And that's fine. I definitely invite people to email me. Also, if you want to check out my Facebook page, I have a Facebook for Libraries Are Essential. Every day I post quotes and some fun cartoons and good information, links to articles, links to studies, merchandising pictures, all kinds of fun things. If you just want to keep yourself in the marketing mindset, you're welcome to go there as well. So, if there is nothing else for me, I guess I will turn it back over to my my wonderful handlers, my hosts, and see if there's any housekeeping that you would like to do.
No, not from our end. Thank you, everyone, for attending, and thank you, Kathy. That was really interesting. I enjoyed it very much. And I probably will watch part of it again.
Does anyone have a favorite picture, or is there a favorite idea that you saw here today that you think that you might want to do right away? I'm always interested to hear what people thought was most interesting.
I thought the digital frame was a good idea, maybe in a smaller library where you might take several photographs of programs
nothing interesting at all. Sorry about that, guys.
No, it was great stuff.
I also liked the summer reading T-shirt where they hung them on the clothesline.
Oh,
yeah, that was really cute.
I liked that a lot.
Yeah, that was so simple, and I've never seen it anywhere else before or since. So
I like the one that was so simple. The other simple one that I'm going to use immediately is please feel free to check out any materials from this display.
The kids or the adults see that they
idea.
Can get a T-shirt as part of a program, I think that helps to spur them to learn more about it. That was one of my favorites as well.
I'm looking for the Facebook page.
Okay, Barbara has a question about, we have four huge pillars holding up our ceiling. Okay, good to know. In the center of the library, only part of them are available for signage because they have their backs to shelving. I think as far as what types of signage, you don't have to just use paper signs now and tape them up. There are lots of new materials. If you contact any local decent-sized print shop or sign maker, there are all kinds of clear plastic and clear vinyl fabrics that are sticky that you can pretty much put up like wallpaper. So you can even do wraparound, you know, you can have murals printed or any information printed like the German library did with its card catalog, printed as a sort of wallpaper, and even wrap them in either up and down or wrap circles around the pillars. So I can't tell you the names of the actual materials, but I think any decent-sized print shop could point you to that and give you prices for the different things that are available now. But, yeah, I mean, why not use them? That's the pillars are there. They either look sort of like nothing or they look kind of icky, you know, just standing there in the middle of everything. So why not use them for something nice? No, I did not see there was a question about the FB page. I'm sorry, did someone ask about the Facebook page?
Yes, I heard a question, Kathy. Somebody was, I think they were just trying to find it so they could like it.
Oh, okay. Hey, thanks. It's right on this final slide here is the URL, but it's just at facebook.com/libraries-are-essential.
That's right at the top. Sorry.
Yeah. No, that's okay. That's okay. I have a lot of fun with that. I like to post some serious useful information along with some library jokes and tips and all that sort of thing. So thank you for that. Any other last-minute questions? Okay.
Thank you, Kathy.
Yes, thanks. You're very welcome.
Thanks a lot.
Hi, it's Pam.
Hi.
Pam, transitioning to the meeting.
Oh, okay.
Do you mind just hanging on? We'll be right back.
No, that's fine.
Okay, Sean, did you...
Thank you. Please stand by.